Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways, and we may walk in his paths. Amen. Remember in today's gospel, we are on the hill surrounding the Sea of Galilee. There you see it from the hills around the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus has gone up on this mountainside to sit down and teach his disciples. All the great teachers of antiquity sit when they teach. And the gospel we are considering today is just one part of the Sermon on the Mount, found in Matthews 5, 6, and 7. They are tough lessons to consider because the implications have everyday consequences for our lives and relationships and our choosing of life. They are some of the bedrock teachings of what it means to be a neighbor. They teach us basic Christian ethics, how we should relate to others in the world day in and day out, even when no one is looking. And yet we have those other three scriptures that we are considering this morning as well. These too are bedrock teachings of how God's people are to comport themselves in the world around them. Deuteronomy talks about the purpose of God's law. The Psalm tells us how we relate to God's instruction. And Paul's letter to the Corinthians tells us how important we are to one another. So the four scriptures we are using today all point us toward living as God's people in the world. And when I first read these four passages, they hit me right where I live today. But before we get too far, let me remind you a little bit about my sermon from a couple weeks ago. Context is always everything when we're talking about the Bible. Because the context is absolutely essential for our understanding. Remember, the first part of the Sermon on the Mount is the Beatitudes. And there you see the Church of the Beatitudes on the mountain in Israel. Remembering that blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and all the rest. The Sermon on the Mount begins with blessings. The Sermon on the Mount begins by reminding us that God is merciful to us first and foremost. Before Jesus talks about any of the ethical things in today's gospel, he reminds us of God's loving kindness toward all of us and the blessings that come to us each and every day. You may have it tough making it through this world, but you are not alone, and the blessings of God are with you from beginning to end. So the context of God's law and the ethical teachings of Jesus grow out of this good news of the gospel. God is merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Now, we Lutherans sometimes get stuck a little bit on Martin Luther's understanding of the dichotomy of law and gospel. But if we look at Deuteronomy in today's first lesson, we see a different understanding of the commandments, decrees, and ordinances of God. Luther saw them as a great weight, but the Deuteronomist saw them as God's gift, God's instruction on how to live with others in the world in congruent relationships that take into account not just our selfish whims, but also the whole endeavor of looking out to the needs of one's neighbor as well as oneself. Deuteronomy tells us living in accord with God's commandments will bring about blessing and life will be abundant and filled with all that blessing, all those blessings that Jesus will talk about in the Beatitudes on the Mount. The psalmist repeats what the Deuteronomist and Jesus tell us. Happy are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. Happy are those who keep his decrees, who seek him with their whole heart, who walk in his ways. There is much benefit from going with God. But you know, folks, it ain't easy. And you know that just as well as I do. We know what we should be doing, and we also know how often we fail at the trying. Now, here's where we have to be careful with these scriptures, because it's so easy to see that our neighbor is the one who is falling short on following God's instruction, but so easy to forget that we are in the same boat as Jesus and the rest of our neighbors. Two chapters down the sermon, we come across this gem. Jesus says, why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but you do not notice the log in your own eye? As my good friend Frank has told me, whenever I point the finger at someone else, there's always three other fingers pointing straight back at me. Or to quote from another letter of Paul, this time from the Romans, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. In today's letter from Paul, 1 Corinthians, he reminds us that we are in this together, folks. Each of us has different responsibilities to build up the edifice that is Christ's church. One digs a hole, another puts in the foundation, another raises the wall, while another puts on the roof, another hangs the windows and doors, and others make cabinets, while others still are tasked with interior decoration. That's all right there in chapter 3, right between the lines. So, what Jesus is doing in this sermon is actually showing us how hard this business of figuring out what it means to be a Christian really is. But he's not giving us a new layer of rules to put on top of the old ones. Rather, he's telling us that if we follow the rules to their logical conclusions, we'll have to be poking out our eyes and cutting off our hands. And to be perfectly clear about that, Jesus doesn't want us to be poking out our eyes and cutting off our hands. He's just telling us this hyperbolic illustration that says, hey, this stuff is important. So stop being so belligerent toward others. To get to the marriage counselor and get that relationship at least one more try. And you know that list goes on and on and on. It's hard to be an ethical person any time of the day. And Jesus is telling us to reconcile ourselves with our neighbors instead of doing one-upsmanship. And we know that the really hard part about all this is that we have a good deal of personal struggle and personal introspection ahead of us, too. We are tasked to figure out just what is required of us to be the disciples Christ is looking for in this mountainside sermon. These teachings of Jesus on Christian ethics, which are not the rules, but just a few examples of the sort of ethical conclusions we may come to as we struggle to find our way through life by the grace of God. Jesus says, "You have heard it said." And then he gives a commandment, but then he says, "But I say to you," and then he makes the commandment harder. You can't even call your brother-in-law a fool. And when we come to the end of the chapter, Jesus is going to sum it up this way. And get ready for this one. If you thought the other things were hard, "Be ye perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." How's that for a summary? Jesus is telling us that the struggle to be a Christian is always that, a struggle. Paul and Luther told us that's why we need Christ. That's why we need God's mercy, because we're always on the way. We're always about the business of reconciliation with one another. We're always falling short of the glory of God. So we need the grace of Jesus, the great physician, to fill our heart with love for others, to give us a vision of grace for tomorrow, to show us what kindness really looks like, tender-heartedness that we know we are all too often lacking. To teach us God's way of healing. Healing that fills our hearts with compassion and forgiveness for others. Jesus is calling us to grow in grace each and every day. And every Sunday, Jesus prepares a table right before us, sometimes in the presence of our enemies, and invites us to dine together as one, that we might be filled with God's grace. Amen.